Call to order council meeting for March 24th. If everyone would stand for the pledge. Remain standing for prayer. Can we have a roll call?
Mr. Brink?
Here.
Vice President Brown?
Here.
President Chapman?
Here.
Mr. Clark?
Here.
Ms. Rose?
Here.
Mr. Salters?
Here.
Mr. Sebring?
Mr. Sebring has a family illness issue, so he has an excused absence.
Okay, adoption of the agenda.
Mr. Mayor, I have two items. I would like to add ordinance 9-2014. Has to do with the copper limit, and Ed Sebring will be here to explain that. Or Ed Cummings, what did I say? Ed excuse me. Excuse me. Have Sebring
but
on the
But you never know.
It's ordinance 9-2014. Add it to the agenda. Ed can explain that. He's in the chamber. If the council wants an explanation of why we're adding it to the agenda.
Yeah.
Technical.
Copper. Copper. Yeah.
Well, if you'd like an explanation now, or you'd like an explanation when we, after we add it to the agenda. All right. Well, then, all we'd need is a second, then.
Well, I also want to.
Well, we'll do it one at a time.
This is under new business.
This is under new business, ordinance 9-2014. And we'll have a full explanation of that at the proper time. So do we have a second?
Second to put that on the agenda. Guess all in favor? Want to do a roll call for that?
I think all in favor would be fine.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Same sign. Okay.
And then the other item to add to the agenda is to add a presentation under miscellaneous item C by BLA. It was the request of the council at the last meeting to have BLA explain the second and or give us an update on second and NIBLAC. I believe that was Councilman Brink.
This is just second NIBLAC.
Right, and it'll also give you an update on RDC looking at the main project if they go for it.
Okay.
So that would be under C, yeah. Under miscellaneous. I think, assuming it has a second, I believe a voice vote would suffice for that.
Was there a second? Who had BLA?
So this presentation is only going to be over
second NIBLAC.
Second NIBLAC, which we talked about the last meeting, wanting a presentation of. Okay. Why was this not added to the agenda earlier? Just out of curiosity.
Because it came up to RDC earlier or last Thursday. Told them that while they were here, they could just give you the information on the RDC. We don't have to do the Main Street.
I would rather hold off on the Main Street and just talk about what we talked about last meeting and just do the second NIBLAC update, because that was a discussion that we had.
Okay.
Well, the motion I made was to add BLA for the purpose of a presentation on second and NIBLAC. So that was the motion on the floor.
Yeah, and I'll second that then.
All right.
And we'll only discuss the items that we talked about last meeting.
Second?
Yeah.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Same sign. How do you want to adopt the agenda as
with those changes? I move to adopt the agenda.
Second.
Motion by President Chapman, second by Councilwoman Rose, to adopt the agenda as amended.
Call for the question.
Mr. Brink?
Yes.
Mr. Brown? Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Agenda is adopted as amended by a vote of 6-0. Next is approval of minutes from the March 10th meeting.
Mr. Mayor, I move to approve the minutes.
Motion by President Chapman, second by Councilwoman Rose, to approve the March 10th minutes.
Mr. Brink?
Yes.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
And those minutes are approved by a vote of 6-0. Petitions, memorials, remonstrances?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to commend the Vincennes University Trailblazers for finishing third in the nation. I think that was a commendable feat. Congratulate the Trailblazers and Coach Franklin and his coaching staff. And in addition to that, I was very pleased to receive Boomer Magazine and see that our city attorney is on the cover of the Art of Dave Rolligan's Small Paintings That Make a Big Statement. So brought a copy here if anyone would like it autographed. And if you see him over there studiously making notes, he may actually be making a character sketch of you, so watch out. But congratulations. Well, there you go. There you go.
Okay, anything else? If not, we'll move on to committee chair reports.
Committee chairs?
Not here.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other reports? Move on to report of city officers. And then we'll move on to old business. Ordinance 7, 2014, additional appropriation from Edit to pay Banning Engineering, SME, BLA, $12,688.
Mr. Mayor, I move we have a second reading of Ordinance 7, 2014.
Motion by President Chapman, second by Councilwoman Rose, to have second reading of Ordinance 7, 2014.
Ordinance 7, 2014, additional appropriation ordinance containing Section 1, 2, and 3, amount of $12,668.10.
Any discussion?
Mr. Brink?
Yes.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Rose? Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Second reading of Ordinance 7, 2014 passes with a vote of 6-0.
Mr. Mayor, I move we have third reading of Ordinance 7, 2014.
Motion by President Chapman, second by Councilwoman Rose, to have third and final reading of Ordinance 7, 2014.
Ordinance 7-2014, additional appropriation ordinance omitting formal parts, sections 1, 2, and 3, for $12,668.10.
Discussion?
Mr. Brink?
Yes.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Rose? Mr. Salters?
Yes.
A third reading of ordinance 7-2014 passes with a vote of 6. Next up is ordinance 8-2014, additional appropriation from Edit to pay Banning Engineering and KCDC $4,550.
Mayor, I move we have a second reading of ordinance 8-2014.
Motion by President Chapman, second by Councilman Clark, to have second reading of ordinance 8-2014.
Ordinance 8-2014, additional appropriation ordinance containing sections 1, 2, and 3, for a total amount of $24,550.
Any discussion?
Mr. Mayor, let the record show that a public hearing was held in this chamber at 5:45, and no one spoke for or against this ordinance.
Mr. Brink?
Yes.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Rose? Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Second reading of ordinance 8-2014 passes with a vote of 6-0.
Mayor, I move we have a third reading of ordinance 8-2014.
Motion by President Chapman, second by Councilman Brown, to have third reading of ordinance 8-2014.
Ordinance 8-2014, additional appropriation ordinance omitting formal parts containing sections 1, 2, and 3, $4,550.
Any discussion?
Mr. Brink?
Yes.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Third and final reading of ordinance 8-2014 passes by a vote of 6-0. Moving on to new business, ordinance 9-2014.
Mr. Mayor, I move we have a first reading of ordinance 9-2014.
Motion by President Chapman, second by Councilwoman Rose, to have first reading of ordinance 9-2014.
Ordinance 9-2014, an ordinance of the Common Council of the City of Vincennes, Indiana, to modify the copper limit only of Title V entitled Public Works, Chapter 57.070, Section 1, Paragraph 2.4, Bravo.
Discussion?
Mr. Mayor, we are delighted to have with us Ed Cummings, who will provide an explanation of why we're adding this to the agenda.
I am. Josh Moore is with me. He's facilities manager at the wastewater treatment plant. He will be here to answer any technical or hard question. What we have is a very modest change. As you know, the pretreatment ordinance that you passed possibly 2 years ago, very lengthy, a lot of technical requirements. One requirement has to do with level of copper as a result of testing, which Josh can explain more fully. That amount can now be changed. This ordinance is to do that. Since it is an ordinance that's working with IDEM and EPA, we need to have 30-day written notice. Just the way your meetings work, it would be really another month before we had it if we waited until that's why we're accommodating, but not 30 days before the meeting. So we really wanted to get on the agenda. We're anxious to comment. We don't expect any. Certainly, if we have them, we're ready for them. Josh can tell you anything about how this came about. I believe it had something to do with a testing. See how it is.
Yeah,
As Ed mentioned, this is all part of the process that started or began in 2010. Basically, the IDEM required us to do a local limit study. We looked at all the parameters, looked at the different sections of town, looked at our industry and commercial business as well, and developed a new set of local limits. The council approved, as well as the US EPA, in 2011, November 2011. And since then, we've gathered more and more data. We've got more accurate numbers, and we're at a point where the US EPA has now approved more accurate numbers. We've collected more and more data. So that's kind of where we're at. US EPA has acknowledged the new limit. They've approved it, and they want to us to go through the procedures and have the council approve it or review it.
So simply put, you've got more data, which allows you to get a better understanding and grasp on, you know, what you needed for your limits, and that's why we're making the changes, right?
Correct. Correct.
Okay.
And in terms of process, it really, this allows a full 30-day comment period, and
publish this paper, then next meeting 14th April, of course, we'll do it then. So, public hearing, we would have April for the. That's what we do. Public hearing, 8th April.
Very good.
Any other discussion? I want to call for the
question. No discussion.
Mr. Brink?
Yes.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chatton?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Okay, first reading of Ordinance 9-2014 passes with a vote of 6. Move on to claims.
Mr. Mayor, I move we approve claims totaling $381,070.84.
Motion by President Chatton, second by Councilwoman Rose, to pay the claims in the amount of $381,070.84.
Mr. Brink?
Yes.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chatton?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Rose, Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Claims are paid by a vote of 6-0. Move on to miscellaneous. First up is Jason Exkorn, concerns with streets and sidewalk condition. Not here. We will move on. Next is Dan Premise, informing council about his professional wildlife management. PRNAC.
Hi, I'm Dan Premise. I was born and raised. We are wildlife management professionals. I was going to show you. Anyway, my business name is CRNAC. It's Commercial Residential Nuisance Animal Control. We are wildlife management professionals. We are certified structural bird barrier installers nationally. We are nationally certified BAT standards compliant. We are professional NWCOA members. We are contributing sponsors of BAT Conservation International, BCI. We are professional members of IWCOA and IADCA. CRNAC can solve nuisance bird problems humanely. I wish you could see my slide. I spent 6 hours on this. CRNAC is also BAT standards compliant nationally. I have some pretty cool pictures of our bats that we caught in residence houses and some unsightly things. We're also BAT cone certified installers. Again, pretty cool pictures. CRNAC is a professional wildlife management company. We are licensed in the state of Illinois and Indiana. We follow the strict guidelines issued to us by the state of Illinois and Indiana, Departments of Natural Resources. We are professional services for every species. All of our traps are humane, and we can relocate wildlife. CRNAC has the latest technology to improve wildlife management issues pertaining to IDNR specs for us to check traps and keep the animals healthy. Actually took of the council up here, and it sends it automatically to my phone, which lets us know that we have an animal trap. Automatically. So I trapped those animals. But it's a pretty cool picture. I wish this was going to work, but this gives us the second they get caught. So we have this 24-hour trap check by the state of Illinois and Indiana, and we keep the animals healthy and safe. All of our traps are species specific. That means we trap only the animals that we're after. If somebody calls us for a raccoon, we get a raccoon. If they want us to trap a coyote, we trap a coyote. Humanely, every time. We also have species specific baits to avoid capturing the wrong species. And here's a list of the wildlife I have here, which I was going to show you here, but obviously it's not. I'll go through it as quick as I can because time limit here. Feral hogs, coyotes, fox, beaver, pigeons, groundhogs, possums, raccoons, chipmunks, bobcats, skunks, badgers, muskrats, river otter, mink, venomous and non-venomous snakes, 13-line ground squirrels, eastern mole, plains pocket gopher, bank voles, meadow vole, fox squirrel, gray squirrel, flying fox squirrel, turkey vultures, blackbird vultures, European starlings, English sparrows, crows, common grackle, honeybees, wasps, hornets, bald-faced hornets, European hornets. And I've got a whole list of bat species that are endangered in the state of Indiana and Illinois, and the ones that are not, show you. And I have a list of zoonosis diseases, which can be transferred from animals to humans. This is just a partial list, and then I'll be done. Histoplasmosis, hantavirus, raccoon roundworm, rabies, toxoplasmosis, Lyme disease, bulimia, H1N1 flu, trichinosis, anthrax, bobasis, bovine tuberculosis, cat scratch disease, cholera, cowpox, cutaneous larva, migraines, E. coli, encephalitis, hendravitis, human immunodeficiency virus, hemorrhagic fever, malaria, ocular larva, migraines, ringworm, salmonellas, typhus, rickets, visceral larva, migraines, West Nile virus, yellow fever, and yarnesis, which is just a partial list. The list goes on and on. We actually can do risk management assessments on fecal matter and let people know that there could be a problem or if there's not a problem. It took a lot of time to get these nuisance control permits. We take it, we hold them very dear. We study constantly. We go to every national convention and every IDNR in Illinois Department of Natural Resources Convention to learn more about the laws and the animals that we deal with every day. Thank you very much for your time. Again, I have business cards, and you can contact us through the City Hall. Thank you. It holds them. Yep. I didn't know how much time I had because I could talk for like hours. literally days.
I can tell you to go one quick track real quick.
Crap. Signed by a nuisance control professional that I know, president of National Wildlife Services. Again, I had a picture of him, me and him, on this computer, which didn't show up. This is just for coyotes and dogs specifically, just for canines only. A child, a cat, anything else that you deal with cannot set this trap off. They can step on it, they can do anything with it, it will not go off. It goes on a bite and pull response that only dogs have. I'll go ahead and try this, do this, but they'll bite the bait here and they'll pull up on this. And it goes off, and it's not set on the ground, but this goes over their neck and acts just like a dog leash. It can only go so far. It will not harm the dog any. There's been several colleges nationwide that have tested these on everything from coyotes, fox, average dogs, to even dingoes in Africa. None of the animals are harmed. Spring-loaded, it just holds the animal there till we get. So every trap we have is humane.
So,
I wanted to let everybody know here, basically, that we have every new species or every trap available, every technology available, make this the safest thing we can possibly deal with as far as animal wildlife. I want to let everybody know that we are professionals.
Dan. You catch, say, a coyote with this. What do you do with it?
We can relocate it, or it just depends on the city's choice or the resident. Obviously, if we have a coyote that may be diseased, we'll put in a 48-hour watch to make sure it doesn't have any disease that can contagious just to other animals, pets, or...
So before you would relocate, you would make sure it doesn't have any rabies or anything?
Make sure it's healthy, yep.
And then you could relocate,
yes.
Say, in Illinois.
Yep. Wow. I can't not do that.
Gibson County, Pike County, somewhere else. You're relocating.
Yes, basically.
Okay.
And if the animal has injured someone or any animal,
be then you have to be put down.
A coyote or whatever we deal with, we'll put the animal down humanely. Okay. Right.
Dan.
Exactly, and that's why I've taken these traps are very expensive and take a lot of time to set up and get these animals humanely caught. I have yes. Yeah, exactly. Also, there's times whenever an animal. Wildlife in general can overpopulate and have major problems, putting stress on other parts of wildlife or in the environment that we can handle.
Well, Dan, I think we welcome your card because I know that occasionally we get calls from people that are having this kind of an issue, and we'd like to be able to refer them to an expert in the field that could provide help. I'll just tell one quick story. When I was years ago president of the Humane Society, I got a phone call from a person in Bruceville, and they wanted me to come right up to the house, and I said, well, what's your problem? And they said, well, they were asleep in bed and in their home, and a raccoon fell from the ceiling onto them on the bed.
Yep.
And they said they woke up with a start, and the raccoon went back up in the ceiling. And I said, well, what do you want me to come up there for? And they said, well, we want you to get the raccoon out of the ceiling. So I wish I'd had your card then.
we had the exact same thing happen to us in Evansville. A lady was taking a shower, and she had a companion. Yep.
Well, there you go.
Please give us your card. It was a companion. She did not want in the shower. Yeah.
You also might have a good demand for those council traps that you talked about earlier.
Well, thank you. That's very interesting. And would you be welcome to speak to some civic organizations to help spread the word?
Yeah, exactly. If there's anything that's needed, obviously our education supersedes a lot. I'm actually the first person to pass the Illinois state test in 10 years and only.
Wow.
And this is a beaver trap. It's called the Comstock trap. Again, humane. There's not a lot of humane traps out there for beaver. Pretty much it's instant death. It's lethal. This is not. Again, this trap is almost $500. So it shows you how much money we invest in our humane traps. And we have to have money back, obviously revenue back, to pay for these traps. But we have small fees, minimal fees, I think, to take care of people's nuisance wildlife problems.
Well, it is a field that you have to have a lot of expertise. I had a fox in the neighborhood some years ago and got a trap, not nearly as good as that, and set it out to trap the fox, and all I did was trap the neighbor's cat and got the neighbor upset with me. So I would much rather call you and have this taken care of. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dan.
Yeah. Thanks. Okay, next, Jeff Whitaker, BLA, to give us an update on the second NIP.
Like the mayor said, my name is Jeff Whitaker. I'm with Bernard and Lockmuller Associates. I'm the project manager for the Second Street NIBLAC project. He asked me to come here today, kind of give you guys an update about the project and what's going on. Matter of fact, last week we had a preliminary field check. Basically, what a preliminary field check is that the design plans are at preliminary stage. We've got those designed to a preliminary stage, and so we invite the utilities to come in, look at the plans, and we talk about the design of the plans and what can be done, and are the utilities shown right, and if that utility needs to be relocated or whatever. So that's the first time that the utilities really get to see the design plans. Like I said, they are preliminary. So the next step that we were looking at is to get the environmental document done. The environment document is a CE4, which is the second highest environmental document that you have to do. And it's because we have historic issues. I don't know if they're issues, but we have historic properties in the neighborhood, and we also have a trail in the neighborhood, which makes the environmental document more complicated. And we're looking at having that completed and approved by the 1st of June. And then after that, we can have our public hearing. And at the public hearing, that's when we invite the public to comment on the plans. They can also comment on the environmental document. After the public hearing and all the comments have been addressed, then we look at getting that final environmental approved. After the final environmental approved, then we can start looking at right-of-way services, obtaining the temporary right-of-way that is required for the project. And that will start sometime in August, is what we're projecting. Come March of next year, we will submit plans to NDOT, final plans for their review. After they review it, then they will send it back to us. Either we'll make changes or we'll go ahead and then send in final plans. We'll send in final plans in April. NDOT requires 4 months lead time from when we submit our final plans. And so the letting of the project is for August of 2015. So basically that's the schedule that we have from this point forward. Does anybody have any questions or comments that I haven't really addressed? I tried to go through this kind of quickly here. So,
you know, always the question is how much? And it seems as though we spend a lot of money on studies. And I think Vincennes may be the most studied city in the state of Indiana. We have a lot of them. My question is, how much more is this study going to be versus when you turn dirt? And you say you're going to turn dirt next year.
Next year, yes.
But how much more are we talking about? And I realize Vincennes only pays 20%, but the other 80% that we're spending comes out of that railroad money that we had, the earmark that we had several years back.
Sure.
those dollars that we're going to spend down that other 80% comes off of other possible railroad projects that we could be doing.
Yes.
How much more?
At preliminary field check, we've kind of, like I said, we've got preliminary plans. Now that we've met with the utilities, we'll have so that we know exactly what we're doing. We'll actually be getting a preliminary cost together by the end of next week. And then that way I can forward it to anybody in the council that would like to see those preliminary construction numbers.
Absolutely.
At this time.
I really do, because like I said, I think Vincennes may be the most studied city in the state of Indiana.
Right.
And it seems as though we don't do a whole lot with our studies. We need to make sure this happens.
Right. Because, you know, at the beginning when we kind of put this project together, we, you know, we kind of come up with a rough cost estimate. Now that we've got a preliminary design, we can put some pretty good quantities together, and so we can get that together.
And this cost analysis that you'll have will be the complete build, design, everything,
right,
wrapped in one.
The only unknown thing will be what the railroad fees will be. There's going to be a railroad crossing that will be there, and there also be some flagging required and probably some signal upgrade, which I don't know. We're in negotiations with the railroad company now, and I think the PO has just been approved, so we will be in contact with them soon and trying to get some of those things ironed out. Now, we can give you an estimate on those railroad costs, but as far as the construction of the asphalt and curb and sidewalks and stuff like that, we can come up with a pretty good price.
And are you going to make that so that intersection is straight instead of a bend?
No, unfortunately, it has to stay a bend because, there again, the way the bridge is and the railroad track.
Okay.
But we are going to raise up the intersection so that the intersection's kind of level with the track, and so that way it's not an up and over and a curve and around.
Right.
So, yes, we are going to raise it up.
And it might also be mentioned that it's not a study. This is an actual project that has to be completed for our levy.
Yeah.
That's why this project came about, is because of the floodgate there will no longer, can't be installed because of the tracks have raised, the railroad,
right,
tracks have raised that.
Any issues that with the railroad or the levee will be addressed as part of this project?
The April 15th, that was, well, not April 15th, April 2015. Is that?
Yes.
Now, that's, is that the best case scenario?
That is best case scenario, yes.
That's best case scenario, okay. I'm just curious.
I'm sorry, August 2015. August 2015 is when the letting is. Yes, because NDOT's physical year starts in June, and so we cannot move physical years. We cannot move it up in physical years. They've already got money allotted for this project in that physical year starting, which starts in June.
So when do you plan to have this completely wrapped up? Just done, we'll drive across it, and it'll be all brand new.
If the letting is in August 2015, they get that fall, and then over the winter time they can do some work, but not too much, and then so I would say by August of the following year.
August of 16.
Yeah, August of 16. So basically 1 year of construction.
Wow.
And there again, I'm estimating NDOT has the final say so on how long,
right,
it takes, but it shouldn't go, you know, much further than that. It should stay, you know, August, September, October, and we'll go past until the following year after that.
Okay.
Yes.
Since this whole project is being done because the railroad raised the level of their track, I'm assuming as part of this whole process and discussions with CSX that they're not going to raise their track again and cause us to do this all over.
Well, that's kind of funny. That was one of the things we will be talking to them about. They will be putting a new crossing across Niblack there. And when they do put one in, they usually raise it 1 to 4 inches. So we will make sure that whatever they raise it, that the new sill concrete levee going across underneath the railroad track will be good.
And it should also be noted that this won't be a gate closure anymore once this is done. It,
yes,
will be a sandbag closure if need be.
Yes. So that way,
a 3 foot.
Yeah. So we're raising it enough that now we don't need to put those metal panels in. We can just use sandbags. And that was one of the things that the levy authority thought it would be a better idea to, since we got it up, then maintain those gates, metal gates that,
right,
you have to bring in and put in.
And then if in the future the railroad does continue, right,
yes, because the sandbags will then fall,
yeah,
can contour over the railroad track easier.
So the plan takes into account that CSX may raise?
Yes. During this project, yes. So when the project is done, everything should be good.
I guess I don't understand. Why do they keep raising the tracks? Why is it they have to raise it every time? Because it's not just this track.
I know.
It's 15th Street. It's Main Street. Pick a track. Yeah. Pick any track.
I'm not a railroad person, and I don't know. I don't pretend to understand what they do, but it seems like when they do go through and upgrade their track and replace the ballast and the new ties, that somewhere in that process that it does raise the track every time they do that, from what I've seen personally. And I don't know, is it just because of the mechanics of when they do that, when they replace those ties, or what?
Are they not then responsible for that upgrade of that crossing, since they screwed it up?
You would think so. You would think
so. You would, and I guess I'd have to look at my attorney over here, and he gives me the look.
Federal government, interstate commerce, all kinds of reasons for
it. Right.
Yeah. I've dealt on with the railroad on two or three projects, and it's always
I want to say this.
Very interesting.
I wanted to say this, that, you know, if anybody makes anything light, say anything light about the railroad, there's a lot of railroads are living in this area, and they don't like it. I've been told that before. I mean, you better be very soft on it and then hard enough to get the job done, but you can't bellyache on the railroad. That's what brings stuff to this area also. So I wouldn't be too light with them. I'd go to the head of the, or down in, what is it, down in Florida?
And yeah, they're
sure,
out of Florida.
Down in shore that we do the thing right to begin with. That way everybody's happy on both sides.
The bottom line, your design will take into account that they might do that.
Yes.
All right. That's what I wanted to make sure.
We will Thank work you. Close with the railroad on this project because it is such a complicated project, yes.
All right.
All right, thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
Nothing else?
Mayor, I would move we adjourn. Except people stick around because we have a presentation.
We're adjourned, and we'll come back in about 5 minutes.